Dāyatas-tvai-yapayā-śrayātmani Tirapya Vidyaya Kataya Tastraya Payashrayatmani Kaya Tastraya Vasya Karanam Vinavino Dambatataka Yamahe Pavo nirodhas titirapya vidyaya Kataya tasvaya payashrayatmani Tas try your perpassionate me. Te bavas yesha bavas yakara. Na vino dam batataka yamahe. Paho nidatas titirak yipitriya. Kataya tas try your payashayatma me. Te bhavas yesha bhavas yakara. Nāvino dhambatataka yamahe. Pavonido Vino dhambatataka yamahe. Paho nirotas titirapya vidyaya. Kataya tas traya payashrayatmani. Nate bhavas yesha.
Ladies, not te of your lordship, apavasya, of whom there is no birth, death, or maintenance, as for an ordinary being. Isha, O Supreme Lord, apavasya, of your appearance, your birth, karanam, the cause, vina, without, vinodam, the pastimes. Despite what is said, you are not forced to come to this world by any cause. But, however, tarkayamahe, we cannot argue, but must simply understand that these are your pastimes. Babaha, birth. Nirodhaha, death. Stithihi, maintenance. Api, also. Avidyaya, by the external illusory energy. Kritaha, done. Yataha, because. Twayi, unto you. Abhaya ashraya, O fearless shelter of all. Atmani, of the ordinary living entity. O Supreme Lord, you are not an ordinary living entity appearing in this material world as a result of fruitive activities. Therefore, your appearance or birth in this world has no other cause than your pleasure potency. Similarly, the living entities who are part of you have no cause for miseries like birth, death, and old age, except when these living entities are conducted by your external energy. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Mamai Vangsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. The living entities are parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, and thus they are qualitatively one with the Lord. We can understand that when the Supreme Lord appears or disappears as an incarnation, there is no other cause than his pleasure potency. We cannot force the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear. As he says in Bhagavad Gita, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam dharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharat, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. When there is a need to diminish a burden created by the demons, the Supreme Godhead can do it in many ways because he has multifarious energies. There's no need for him to come as an incarnation since he is not forced to do anything like ordinary living entities. The living entities come to this material world in the spirit of enjoyment, but because they want to enjoy without Krishna, Krishna Bahirmukh Haya Bhogavanchakare. They suffer birth, death, old age, and disease under the control of the illusory energy. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears, however, no such causes are involved. His descent is an act of his pleasure potency. We should always remember this distinction between the Lord and the ordinary living entity and not uselessly argue that the Lord cannot come. There are philosophers who do not believe in the Lord's incarnation and who ask, why should the Supreme Lord come? But the answer is, why should he not come? Why should he be controlled by the desire of the living entity? The Lord is free to do whatever he likes. Therefore, this verse says, Vina vinodam patatarkaya mahe. It is only for his pleasure that he comes, although he does not need to come. When the living entities come to this world for material enjoyment, they're entangled in karma and karmapal by the Lord's illusory energy. But if one seeks shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, one is again situated in his original liberated state. As stated here, Kṛtāyatas Tvayapaya Shrayatmani, one who seeks shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord is always fearless. Because we are dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should give up the idea that without Krishna, we can enjoy freedom in this material world. This idea is the reason we have become entangled. Now it is our duty to seek shelter again at the Lord's lotus feet. This shelter is described as abhaya, or fearless. Since Krishna is not subject to birth, death, old age, or disease, and since we are part and parcel of Krishna, we also are not subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. But we have become subject to these illusory problems because of our forgetfulness of Krishna and our position as his eternal servants, Jivar Sharupoi Krishner Nityadas. Therefore, if we practice devotional service by always thinking of the Lord, always glorifying him, and always chanting about him, as described in text 37, Shrinvan Grinan Samsmarayam Chachintayan, we will be reinstated in our original constitutional position and thus be saved. The demigods, therefore, encouraged Devaki not to fear Kamsa, but to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was already within her womb.
Om Jnanatimirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Tathati Shapatantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitamstam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Pradishana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamstra Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prashabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vanshakol Pitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nate bhavasyesha bhavasyakaranam vina vinodam patatarkayamahe Bhavo nirodhas titirapya vidyaya kṛtāyatas tvaya bhayāśrayātmani. Well, Krishna's swarat independent. He has no obligation to appear. As we discussed yesterday, he appears, quite well attached.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. He appears, Pratitranaya Sadhunam, for the sake of his devotees. With his other energies, he can just knock off the demons, no problem. But to please the devotees, and for his own pleasure, he appears in this material world. Bina binodam, no other reason than for his pleasure pastimes, to display his pleasure potency and enjoy with his devotees. Binodam karanam, there's no other cause. He's the supreme controller. Prabhupada gave the example when Krishna comes to this material world, he's not like the ordinary living entities who are forced to come. If the king visits the jail, it doesn't mean that now he's a prisoner like the others. He comes by his causeless mercy of his own accord. So Krishna comes to this material world independently, not forced. And tarkayamahe, there's no use arguing about it. Tarko apratishta, arguments won't get us anywhere. This is what Krishna does. It's stated here in Srimad Bhagavatam, and we have to accept it, that's all. Arguments will not be useful. Tarko apratishta anat, nothing will be established just by argument. We have to hear submissively from authorities like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, as received in the parampara system. Then we can understand something about Krishna. Otherwise, by argument, we'll be lost.
Bhavo nirodha stitir api avidyaya. The living entities also are not meant for this material world, but we come here out of avidya. And Srila Prabhupada describes this avidya as the false desire to enjoy independently of Krishna. That's the avidya. Mami vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. All the living entities are parts of Krishna, and there's no effective point of trying to be independent. Krishna is independent, Swarat, and we're not independent, and we will never be independent. Angsa sanatana. We're eternally parts of Krishna, and therefore our healthy position is to serve Krishna, to participate in contributing to Krishna's enjoyment. But then we'll also enjoy. But if we think directly, let me enjoy independently, then suffer. That's the nature of this material world. It's a world of suffering. And that's the benefit of our independence. When we falsely assert independence, suffer. That's all. Bhava nirodha stitir. Birth, staying for some time, and then wiped out. And then again birth, and then again staying for some time. Then again, wiped out. And each time thinking, let me enjoy, let me enjoy.
This is Maya. O Krita,
Itas Traya Bhayashre Atmani.
The business of the living entity, if he wants to be free from fear, is to take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Of these four propensities, eating, sleeping, mating, and fearing, Srila Prabhupada said, fearing is the most prominent. The living entities in the material world are always afraid. Some enemy may come, some terrorist may come, financial distress may come, disease may come, embarrassment may come, failure may come, this may come, that may come. At every step, fear. We see the birds, they're eating and fearing at the same time. They're eating. Always looking this way and that way. Is someone going to kill me? Is someone going to kill me? What kind of enjoyment is that? That how nicely can you eat with fear that someone might interrupt my lunch and kill me? But this is the enjoyment in the material world. They're hoping to enjoy, but there's always the fear that my enjoyment will turn into trouble, which it does. Yehi samsparsha jab bhoga dukha yoni evate. The happiness that we get from sense gratification actually becomes a source of distress. One thinks, let me enjoy. And instead he gets beaten by, just like the ass, he approaches the female ass for sex, let me enjoy. And the result is he gets kicked in the face. So this is the material world. The more we try to enjoy, the more we suffer. The more we suffer. Yukta karma palat chaktva shantim atnoti naishtikim. The devotees give the results of their work for Krishna. Yagyartha karmanon yaksha loko yam karmabandha. Otherwise, and therefore the devotees are peaceful and happy. But ayukta kama karena pale sakto nibadyate. Those who are not Krishna conscious, who are greedy and thinking, let me enjoy, become entangled with work and the results of work, and they're neither peaceful nor happy. And they're always fearful that even if I get something, it will be lost, because it will be. Adyantavanta kontaya, it has a beginning and an end. Therefore, no intelligent person tries to be happy, ultimately independent of Krishna. If one is, therefore, in this material world, it means he's not intelligent. He's a fool. No one comes to this world but the fools, those who are bewildered by the material energy. And someone may be an intelligent fool, someone's a foolish fool, but everyone's a fool. Some fool may have a PhD, some fool may have, but everyone is a fool because he's turned away from Krishna, Bhojavancha Kore, and therefore he's being slapped by the material energy. So, Ganavan Mam Prapadyate, the intelligent person, the person who has real knowledge, surrenders to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna means Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. It doesn't mean just, I surrender, and then makes a big scene. Yes, now I've surrendered. But he has to take up the process of surrender, to hear, to chant, to engage in service under proper guidance. There's a science, there's a method. It's not sentiment that, oh, Krishna, I surrender, like Draupadi. I'm like Draupadi, I surrender. And then after I've surrendered, I go back to my nonsense. No. There's a science, and one should learn the science. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada established this ISKCON to teach the science of Krishna so that people can, in a practical manner, serve Krishna in the association of devotees under the guidance of the acharyas. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. All right, are there some questions?
Hare Krishna. As a practicing devotee, we know, we have heard, we have read also.
We don't what?
That desire for separate enjoyment other than Krishna consciousness leads to suffering. But still, when the sense object comes,
when the sense objects
comes in front of us, or it becomes available, we forget the entire knowledge. For example, if I see Gulab Jamun, I forget Atyahara Prayasacha Shloka entirely.
We know the philosophy, sense enjoyment leads to trouble, but when some sense object comes before us, we become eager to enjoy.
So why we forget this knowledge?
Why do we forget this knowledge? Because of past habits, past entanglement. Just like a drunkard. He knows that this has caused me so much suffering, and he takes some kind of treatment or therapy and gives up drinking. But if he again comes into the association of people who are drinking, and he may also backslide because of long association and habit. Habit is second nature, they say. So this is there. We're in the probational stage or the stage of practice. So we're given knowledge, we understand something, but because of our past association and past indulgence in or past dedication to the path of sense enjoyment, when something that's appealing to our senses comes before us, we forget. This is called Maya, especially women. That's sense enjoyment number one for the man. So he knows everything, but then he sees a beautiful woman and he loses his intelligence. Tadasya harati pragyam vairanavam ivambasi. His intelligence is swept away like a boat on the water, swept away by a strong wind. So therefore two things are recommended. One is that one should become stronger and stronger in Krishna consciousness so that the material sense objects will not seem very attractive. Raso varjam raso pyasya param drishtva nivartate. And the other is to realize that I'm not in the perfect stage, I'm in the probationary stage, and therefore I should be very careful to avoid the association of opportunities for sense enjoyment, or to see everything in terms of potential sense enjoyment. Just like the drunkards, they take some cure, they're doing fine, but they're advised, don't go near the tavern. Don't hang out with your old friends. Don't get into any situation where, again, you may be attracted to drink because you have that habit. So if you're careless, again, you'll slide back into that habit or you'll forget everything.
So don't hang out with your old drinking buddies. Don't walk near to the tavern and peek in, and you avoid. So the perfected souls, they don't have to worry, but we're not them. And therefore, we're advised. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu set the standard. He was very careful about the association of women. Prabhupada said, man is good, woman is good, but man and woman together, not good. The man is like butter, the woman is like fire, you put the two together, melt. So, does that answer your question? Yes. I think you need to switch it on.
Krishna Maharaji, I have one question. What is the priority of reading books?
What is the priority of reading books? You mean in relation to doing other things, or one book in relation to another?
In one book in relation to other also.
Hmm?
In relation with other books also, and other services also. Like there are many services.
Reading is important. Otherwise we won't know the philosophy, and we'll be acting more or less out of a kind of sentiment, some faith, but the intelligence doesn't have much to go on. It will be more on the platform of the heart, the mind. But the trouble with the heart and the mind is that today they're in ISKCON, tomorrow they're someplace else, third day they're at the amusement park, the fourth day they're... You know, the mind is chanchala. Chanchala means unsteady, flickering. It's good, we'll do some service, we'll do other things, but unless we understand the philosophy, that is, unless the intelligence is engaged, today we're sentimentally serving, tomorrow we may sentimentally leave. But if we have the intelligence, when something's understood with the intelligence, it becomes fixed. And therefore, the reading is important. Now, how many hours a day, what regimen, what book, that's another thing. But the principle we should understand, that these books are important for us if we want to make spiritual progress. Is that okay?
Krishna Maharaj. Thank you very much. Maharaj, in Bhagavad Gita...
Excuse me, while I'm thinking of it. Also, one thinks that this is very nice. I'm hearing Bhagavad Gita at the temple and hearing Bhagavatam at the temple. Then there's some other Bhagavatam speaker, professional speaker. I think, oh, this is also very nice. Let me go here. Some Mayavadi speaking. I think, oh, Krishna Katha, let me go here. Because I'm not educated, I don't know the difference between hearing from the competent person and hearing from the incompetent person. So then I become confused. So again, one has to understand from the authority. Yes.
Maharaj, in Bhagavad Gita, it is mentioned that auspicious path, there are three categories of people. One is who are enjoying the material prosperity. And another is going to liberation. And another kind of devotees.
On the auspicious path,
So
there's three kinds of people. Those who are pursuing sense gratification, those who are pursuing liberation, and the devotees. Where is that?
It is in 6th chapter, verse number 40.
14?
40.
No. Partanaiveha namutra vinashas tasya vidyate. Nahi kalyanakrit. It doesn't say what you just told me.
Maharaj, in Purport, Prabhupada ji is telling last para.
Okay, that's not.
So
What does it say?
My question is that...
What does it say? Do you have it with you?
Yes.
So, Padiye.
Those who are following the path of auspicious can be divided into three sections, namely the followers of scriptural rules and regulations who are enjoying material prosperity. Those who are trying to find ultimate liberation from material existence. Those who are devotee in Krishna consciousness.
So, continue.
Those who are following the rules and regulation of scriptures for material happiness may be further divided into two classes. Those who are fruitive workers and those who desires no fruit for sense gratification. Those who are after fruitive result for sense gratification may be elevated to higher standard of life, even to the higher planets, but still because they are not free from material existence, they are not following the true auspicious path.
Not following the true auspicious path. So auspicious means, in this context, that they're following Shastra. That's auspicious. It's not Vikarma. To follow Vikarma or just do whatever you think, ayukta kama karena, what is that? Vartate kama karata, acting according to their whims, that's not at all auspicious. So whether they have material desires or desire liberation or they're devotees, following Shastra will put them on the auspicious path. But here we see that Prabhupada said that the path of sense gratification isn't really auspicious. It's auspicious in that they're following some regulative principles. But it's not the true auspicious path. The true auspicious path is devotional service.
Well, my question was that second category, it is mentioned, Prabhupada ji, auspicious, and those who are following rules and regulation, they are of two kind category. One is fruity workers and another is niskamkar. So my question is that what impetus they have which are niskam karma yogi?
What impetus do they have?
To work. Or what kind of work they do also?
Those who are niskama, free from desires, work as a matter of duty. Karyam ityeva yat karma kriyatarjana. They work because this is my duty. The less intelligent work because I'll enjoy. I'll work, I'll get the results, and I'll enjoy. And then, of course, they're disappointed. But the more fortunate person, works because it's my duty to work. I may enjoy, I may not enjoy, but this is what I'm supposed to do. This is my duty. Those in the mode of goodness work in that spirit. That I may enjoy, I may not enjoy. I may enjoy or I may not enjoy. But just like Arjuna, he's not going to enjoy it by killing his grandfather, killing his guru. But it's his duty. So without any expectation of happiness, he does his work. Karmanye vadikaraste ma paleshu kadach. Is that okay?
Difference between bhakti yogi, work for Krishna, and niskam yogi.
Work for Krishna and this obligatory work, what's the difference? Obligatory work means this is my duty, I do it. And devotional service is I want to please Krishna, therefore I do it. Two different, it's the same work. Someone's doing it for enjoyment. He's the big fool. And someone's doing it for liberation. He's another kind of fool. And someone's doing it without expectation of return because it's his duty. That's better. But the person who's doing it just to please Krishna,
He's the devotee. Is that okay? Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for your wonderful class. Maharaj, in the purport, Prabhupada is mentioning that Ahara Nidra Bhaya Maithun, in that Bhaya is more prominent. Okay? And so, even being a devotee, Maharaj.
Even what?
Even being a devotee, this Bhaya thing is there. It's not like that only outsiders or the non-devotees, they have this Bhaya thing. But being a devotee also, this have bhaya thing is also there.
So bhaya is there, fear is there for everyone, and even the devotees. All right. Next.
So this thing that this may happen, disease may come, or some financial crisis will be there, or what we will do that time. You know, this kind of fear is there, Maharaj. So Krishna is saying that after become a devotee becomes fearless. So. When that fearlessness will come, Maharaj, we want to taste that fearlessness. One thing, and one more thing, Maharaj, where Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarma Dharman Parityajya, in that last may, he says that, Masucha, do not fear.
Actually, so, it means do not worry.
It is not fear?
Sucha, worry, hey na?
It, Prabhupada mentioned, do not fear.
Yeah, I know, but the actual meaning of Mashucha is don't worry.
Don't worry. So we don't, suppose we have to take it in our way, that we don't have to worry about what then? Like exactly how we have to take it. That what we don't have to worry about. If Krishna is saying that what we have to be not worry about, and how to become like fearless, when it will come, and like how to achieve this.
Yeah. Of course, immediately if you take the Krishna consciousness, there's great relief from fear. The materialist, when he has fear, he tries this, he tries that, he tries this, he tries that, and he's all dependent on fallible material solutions. So his fear is not easy to remedy. Chintam aparameyam cha pralayantam upashata. Till the end of his life, he's full of anxieties because his whole program is dependent on the body and the sense objects for his material senses. The senses have to be in good order. The sense objects have to be available and pleasing. The whole thing is, a network of potential problems. The girl may leave me, the stock market may crash, my health, my this, he's full of fear, and his whole program can fall apart. Old age is terribly fearsome because his sense enjoyment depends on his senses, and in old age the senses become decrepit. So he's, and he doesn't know what's coming next. After death, who knows? Oh, his whole platform is fear. Bhayam dvitiya bhiniveshitasya, because he's full of, he's living in dualities of good and bad and success and failure. He's always in fear. So the Krishna conscious person, Brahmabhuta prasanatma, he becomes joyful because he knows I'm not this body. So this may come, even if you kill me anyway, you can't actually kill me because I'm not this body. So many sources of fear at once melt away because he sees it's like a tiger that you see in a dream. This material life is a dream, and the fearsome tigers are the dream tigers. So he's at once relieved of so many anxieties, so many fears, so many worries. Still something is left because we have this body and just it's wired into the biological system that we hear a loud sound and we
It's natural, but in such circumstances, the devotee remembers Krishna. So many demons appear in the Vrindavan, the Brajvasis. Krishna, Krishna. The Ashwatthama sends his Brahmastra to kill the last descendants of the Pandavas. Krishna, Krishna. That's the natural tendency of the devotee. When there's a source of fear, he takes shelter of Krishna. The materialist, when he's in fear, he calls his broker, he calls his lawyer, he calls his security guard, he calls this, he calls that. He tries this, he tries that, but there's no actual solution. Only a patchwork. Okay, we put off that one, we got rid of this one. But the devotee has the abhayashraya, the source of freedom from fear. And when the devotee is perfect, he always thinks of Krishna. When he's in the practicing stage, he may also sometimes think, I could do this, I could do that. But when he's Krishna conscious, or he thinks, this is a big threat, this is a big, this. But when he remembers Krishna, then he's freed. And in the perfect stage, one always remembers Krishna. Is that okay?
Okay, Maharaj. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. We have to fully surrender to Krishna, but still not able. We are following four principles. We are doing association with the devotees. We are reading everything. Could you put some lights on this, please?
I didn't get the question. We're following these four principles. We're associating with devotees.
Yeah.
And?
Reading Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita.
We're reading,
but still we are not fully surrendered to Krishna.
Because it's a process. Just like the across the, my favorite example, Bombay is so nice because you have this gymkhana across from the temple, and they're always practicing. They're lifting their weights, they're doing all that gym stuff. But it's not that when they first join or they first go, now they become Superman. By regular practice, they gradually become Superman. Somewhat super. Superficially super.
Oh. Thank you, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Maharaj, actually, this is, I'm reading from...
Let the bells finish.
So should I ask question?
Now, yes.
Yeah. So I'm reading from the purport of 10 to 36. It is said in this purport, Prabhupada said that Mahabharata is a history, and simply by studying, hearing and memorizing the transcendental activities of Krishna, the less intelligent can also gradually rise to the standard of a pure devotee. It means directly like Krishna Katha is the solution, or Krishna Katha is the process for to become a to come to the standard of pure devotee. So actually, just like in our training process or in our Krishna consciousness, we study two things, philosophy and Krishna Katha. So Prabhupada, it seems that Prabhupada is saying that Krishna Katha is the only thing by which intelligent, by which less intelligent also can come to the standard of pure devotee. So what is the need of studying the philosophy if the Krishna Katha is the only solution?
What do you think the philosophy is? What is the need of studying philosophy if Krishna Katha is sufficient for all purposes? But what do you think Krishna Katha means?
About the pastimes and activities of Krishna.
How about Bhagavad Gita? Is that Krishna Katha? Is Bhagavad Gita Krishna Katha?
Not exactly.
No? It's spoken by Krishna himself. Actually, there are two kinds of Krishna Katha. The Krishna Katha spoken about Krishna and Krishna Katha spoken by Krishna. Well, this Bhagavad Gita is certainly Krishna Katha. And is it philosophy? Yes. And Srimad Bhagavatam, do you think it's just pastimes and no philosophy? Only Lilamrit is there, the nectar of the activities. But philosophy, that's someplace else, Vedanta Sutra or the Upanishads. Is that your thinking? The Sukadeva Goswami is speaking to Parikshit, Krishna Katha. They're the examples. Parikshit became perfect by hearing Krishna Katha. Sukadeva became perfect by speaking Krishna Katha. And what are they hearing and speaking? So much philosophy. You subtract all the philosophy, you can finish the book in, 20 verses. Our philosophy is not separate. When we hear about Krishna, his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, it's all happening on the platform of philosophy. What is that? Tach tradhana muniyo gyana vairagya yuktaya pasyanti atmani chatmanam bhaktya shruta grihitaya. This Bhagavatam is all heard in terms of philosophy. Simply hearing, this is the Mayavadis or the ordinary people, they'll speak about Krishna's pastimes, but no philosophy. Therefore, they don't even understand who Krishna is. Oh yes, Krishna was such a mischievous little boy. Oh, Krishna is the impersonal manifestation of the Nirakar Brahma. Oh, Krishna is my Ishta Devata. There are so many other Ishta Devatas, but I like Krishna. They have so many misconceptions because they hear Krishna Lila without philosophy or with bogus philosophy. So one has to hear Krishna Katha in full. Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tatvata. One has to understand Krishna tatva. The business of the guru, jay Krishna tatva veta shay guruha. He has to know the Krishna tatva and speak it to the disciple, not that he just speaks lila. Lila without philosophy is like, what would you say? A hand without fingers or something. It's not complete. Understanding Krishna Lila means we must understand the philosophy. Otherwise we'll misunderstand. Just like the Prakriti Sahajas. They just want Lila. And they don't want to hear philosophy. And then they want to imitate the Lila because they don't understand the philosophy. They think Krishna is enjoying, I can also enjoy. So much rubbish is in their heads because they only want Lila, but they don't want philosophy. So one must, if one actually wants to hear Krishna Katha doesn't mean just Lila. There is no separately, just like there's no Radharani without Krishna. So there's no Lila without philosophy also. Krishna is the absolute truth. The Lila of Krishna, Krishna Lila means the Lilas of the absolute truth. So if we want to understand the Lila, we have to understand the absolute truth. Otherwise we won't understand the Lila. But they want the Lila without the truth. Therefore they jump to the 10th canto at once, skipping over all this dry philosophy in the earlier cantos. But even if they properly read the 10th canto, so much philosophy is there. Prayers by the personified Vedas, it's all philosophy. And every other chapter, there's philosophy. Something else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, where are you?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
जन्म कर्म चमे दिव्यम अभी बता रहे थे कि जन्म कर्म जो जो जान जाता है तत्वत है तो अनुवाद की जागे से हरे कृष्ण जैसे अभी जन्म की कथा हम लोग सुन रहे हैं तो भगवान श्री कृष्ण ने गीता के उपदेश में बताए कि जन्म कर्म चमे दिव्यम तो अगर जन्म कर्म जो जान जाता है तत्वतः तो कोई ऐसा बोले कि मैं तो जान गया कि भगवान आए थे देवकी के घर में आए वसुदेव के हृदय में जो भी हो जानता है वो बताए कि मैं जानता हूं और फिर वहां से यशोदा के नंदन भी वहां पालन हुआ वो सारे बताएगा तत्वतः तो क्या मैं उसको समझूंगा कि वो तक्तवा दे हम पुनः जन्म नहीं थे मामे थे अर्जुन फिर दूसरा उसका जन्म नहीं होगा
It's not just that all you have to know is that Krishna took birth as the son of Vasudev Devaki. Are you getting Anuvad? Yeah, you don't have to speak it again, right? They're getting Anuvad. Okay. So you don't have to... it's not enough just to know. Krishna is the son of Devaki. They think Krishna is the son of Vasudev and Devaki. I'm the son of such and such. This person's the son of such and such. Everyone is the son of someone. That's not enough. Krishna is the son of Devaki and Vasudev. Therefore, Krishna is an ordinary human being. Or Krishna is the son of Vasudev and Devaki. Therefore, the impersonal absolute has appeared as a human being. Avajananti mamudha manushim tanamashita. One has to be trained to understand tattva, Krishna tattva. Therefore, Guru Meva Vigachet. One has to approach the bona fide guru and understand Krishna Tattvata factually. Not just that, yes, yes, I know, I know. You know, I know mathematics. I've never attended school. I never took the course. I never studied the books. I just know mathematics. Yes, yes, I know. That means he's the bigger fool. He doesn't know anything. He doesn't even know that he doesn't know. So he has to enter into the proper educational institution, then he can understand mathematics, so many things. So Krishna is not to be understood superficially. Tattvata means more than that. TK? Okay. Should we stop? I think time has come. Samay ho gaya. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Shri Prabhupada.